وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
فمن كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه، اللهم وال من والاه، وعاد من عاداه، وانصر من نصره، واخذل من خذله، وأذل الحق معه حيث دار. وقال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
إن لله لكل صلاة يصليها هذا الخلق لعنة، لجحودهم حقنا وتكذيبهم إيانا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
كما في مضمون الرواية. Congratulations to all of you, respectable brothers and sisters. Congratulations to all the lovers of adl and justice, to all those who are resisting in front of the dhulm, and to all those who believe in the risalat and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because today is the day when we are celebrating the Eid al-Wilaya, the day of the governance of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, which actually stands for the governance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the walayat and supremacy of Allah over his creatures. So today is the celebration of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And those who do not believe in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam must understand that their belief of risalat and their belief of tawheed is unacceptable in the eyes of Allah unless they make sure that they also believe in the walayat, which is the only guarantee for the acceptance of tawheed and risalah. This is the day where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam delivered his longest sermon of his life, which was not delivered in the comfort of his home but in the burning sands, and 120,000 companions who were returning back from the farewell hajj are the audience of the Prophet. Those who went forward, Prophet asked for them to be returned back, and those who are lagging behind, they were waited for so that they can join. And the unique member was formed, which was never found in the history of Islam on any other occasion other than this, the minbar made from the aqtab al-ibil and the saddles of the camels. That's where the Prophet went up that member and delivers the longest sermon. Mentioning a long list of things and obviously the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning and the service that he has performed and conveyed the risala and the divine message. And after all those things that he had mentioned in the beginning, then he comes to the point where he is saying to the crowd that, mentioning about his departure from this world, which is going to be very soon, and that's where he mentions the Hadith al-Saqalain. Hadith al-Saqalain is basically part of the khutbah of Hadith. This is one of those ahadith which are mutawatir, that means narrated in so many ways by so many people in so much, in such a way that it causes yaqeen in the heart of the reader. That's the definition of hadith and mutawatir, a hadith which is narrated in such a way by as many people, which causes yaqeen in the heart of the reader about the contents and the authenticity of them. So, inni mukhallifun, inni tarikun, fikum al-saqarayn, kitab Allahi wa itrati ahl bayti, ma inta masaktum bihima, lan tadillu. I'm leaving behind among you two valuable things. Is it right? Saqalain or Siqlain can be read both ways. And as long as you grab these two, you will not be misguided. فَانْظُرُ كَيْفَ تُخَلِّفُونِ فِي السَّقَلَيْنِ. See how you are behaving after me towards the Saqalain. So Prophet is basically warning and warning the Ashab about their behavior towards the Saqalain. And also after that he says that فَلَا تَقَدِّمُوهُمَا فَتَهْلِكُوا. Don't move ahead of them. Taqaddum means moving forward, isn't it right? So don't try to move ahead of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. What does it mean, moving ahead of Quran and Ahlul Bayt? Well, one of the implications of this statement and the stock of this statement is that if we impose our opinion and our right over the pre-existing opinion and hukum of Allah in the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this is called taqaddum. This is called you are moving ahead of Quran. You are trying to make Quran follow you instead of you obeying the Quran, because Quran already has the divine decisions in it. Isn't it right? And the teachings of the Holy Prophet are already clear and it has the divine decisions in it. So if we ignore those decisions and we try to dictate our policy to the Holy Quran, then the hadith, another hadith from the Prophet informs us that مَنْ جَعَلَهُ خَلْفَهُ, whoever puts the Quran behind him, that means you move forward, you dictate the policy to the Holy Quran instead of you obeying the Quran. So you are putting Quran behind your back in the terminology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet says if somebody makes Quran, that puts Quran behind his back, then when he dictates the policy to the Holy Quran, Quran is going to hit him on his, on the back of his neck, and he's going to throw him into the hell. فَيَقْذِفَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمَ. He's going to throw him in the hell. So this book is a living creature of Allah. It's unlike any other book. Whatever we behave towards Quran is going to be, is documented, and it's going to basically appear on the day of judgment and we will be treated likewise. So basically Prophet is saying, don't be ahead of Quran and Ahlul Bayt or you will be destroyed, devastated. وَلَا تَقْصُرُ عَنْهُمَا فَتَهْلِكُ. Don't stay behind them or you will be devastated. So if we go ahead of the Quran or the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, we will be devastated. If we stay back behind, that means Quran and Ahlul Bayt are leading the way already on behalf of Allah. But we are not listening to them, we are not following them, we are not obeying them. We are sitting back, relaxing, idle, not obeying the divine duty. This is called keeping the Quran in the front and you stay back without obeying. So Prophet says, وَلَا تَقْصُرُ عَنْهُمَا. Don't do that behavior. فَتَهْلِكُ. You will be devastated. وَلَا تُعَلِّمُوهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ مِنْكُمْ. Don't teach them nothing because they know more than you. So don't try to teach the Ahlul Bayt nothing. There are some people who are trying to teach Ahlul Bayt. You would say, how? Well, this is exactly what it translates into. When you are presenting your opinion and your own take on Islam in the presence of the pre-existing ahkam of Ahlul Bayt, this is exactly what it means that you are trying to pose yourself to be superior and more knowledgeable than him. Isn't it right? It's true that the Mujtahid has given that fatwa, but you know what? We are living in the West. We know the situation better. Isn't it right? And I said to some of the people, okay, so you think the Mujtahideen, hafizahum Allah ajma'een, may Allah protect all of them, do you think they, obviously, do you think that Rasulullah knows your situation in the West better or not? If you think Rasulullah also doesn't know, na'udhu billah min dhalik, then you are denying the Holy Quran. Because Quran calls him Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the Messenger, seal of all the prophets. Isn't it right? So he's not supposed to be the seal of the prophets if there are further needs arising in the West, this prophet did not address. Then why did Allah made him the seal of the prophets when there are further needs still available in the West which were never addressed by Rasulullah? So that means that the belief of Khatmul Nubuwwah, it has to go down the drain. Because now Allah is obliged to send a different messenger from the West. Isn't that right? This is exactly what's the meaning of the behavior of some people who try to say that our Mujtahideen do not know how we are going through in the West. And I said to some people, well, does Rasulullah know about that or not? Mujtahideen are telling you what Rasulullah has said. If you believe that Rasulullah knows and has the ilm of ghaib, which Quran says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. Quran is very clear that Allah is teaching the ilm of ghaib to the Prophet. So this is about worshipping dunya actually, and for some people maybe ignorance. So Prophet has warned us, لَا تُعَلِّمُوهُمْ. Don't teach them nothing. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَعْلَمْ مِنْكُمْ. Because certainly they are more knowledgeable than you. So don't try to teach nothing to Ahlul Bayt. And then he comes to, after mentioning all that, then he comes to the final point of the khutbah, is that he poses the question to the masses that أَيُّ nas man. He says that مَنْ أَوْلَى النَّاسَ, not أَيُّ nas, مَنْ أَوْلَى النَّاسَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. Which one among, who has more authority and walayat from the people over the mu'mineen than the mu'mineen have over their own selves? And people replied that Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And that's where Prophet says, in Allah al-Walaya. So this is how Prophet starts. Allah is my Mawla. That's what we believe, that actually the walayat of Amir Mumin is actually nothing but the rule of the supremacy of Kalimatullah over the creatures. It's the word of God that is ruling through Imam Ali. Imam Ali is the Khalifa of Allah. So Prophet and Imam Ali stands for the Walayat of Allah in the real sense. That's where the whole silsila and the chain starts, from the Walayat of Allah. In Islam, actually no one is the Wali other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the Holy Quran, Quran is very clear in saying Allahu huwa al-wali. And this is the hasr. You know, taqdeemu ma haqqahu at-ta'khir yufidu al-hasr. So actually in the tafsir we learn that no one is the wali other than Allah. Now if Allah gives the walayat to somebody, he would be the wali. If Allah does not give, he would never be the wali. So walayat has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet says, in Allaha Mawlaya. Now there are discussions and discussions and discussions going on in among various sects of Islam. What is the meaning of Mawla that Prophet has been mentioning in the khutbah? And some say it's about the friendship of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, do you consider Allah to be your friend as well? If you consider Allah to be your friend as well, then it would be okay for you to accept the meaning of friendship for Imam Ali. Because Prophet says, starts his discussion from here. In Allaha Mawlaya. That's where he starts. Suddenly Allah is my ruler. Mawla and Wali and means Hakim, the ruler, the governor, the one who has authority over me. What kind of authority are we talking about? Prophet has said in another hadith that, which I'm paraphrasing in my words, that no one among you can be a mu'min hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min nafsihi wa malihi wa wuldihi wa nasi ajma'in. None of you can be a mu'min until I am more beloved in his eyes than his own life, his own wealth, his own children, wa nasi ajma'in, and all the people. Is that the kind of belief we have towards Rasulullah? That in our eyes, Rasulullah is more mahbub and beloved as compared to my own life, as compared to my wealth, as compared to my children, as compared to the rest of the humans? If the answer to the question is yes, then we are mu'min in the dictionary of Rasulullah. And if we consider our life or our wealth or our children or the humans to be more beloved in our eyes than the Holy Prophet, then we are not called a mu'min. And somebody said, one of the ashab said to the Holy Prophet, well, I'm ready to sacrifice my money and children for you and consider them to be less beloved. But when it comes to my life, it's very hard to sacrifice. And Prophet replied back that even your life, in other words, that means even your life has to be, that's also part of the basically phenomena, that you have to be ready to sacrifice the life, according to this narration. So, coming back to the point that in the Allah Mawlaya, Prophet says, وَأَنَا مَوْلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنَا أَوْلَى بِهِمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah is my ruler. Certainly, and I am the ruler and mawla of the believers. Wa ana awla bihim, and I have more authority over them, min anfusihim, from themselves. So Prophet has more control over me than I have over my own self, if I am a believer. And that's where he mentions this famous statement, which you all know already, and that I mentioned in the beginning, فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. So whomsoever I am his ruler and master, this Ali is also his ruler. So it obviously it means that the same meaning that applies for the rule of Allah, in the same meaning how Allah is the ruler, in the same meaning how the Prophet is the ruler, is the same meaning which applies towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. Obviously the only difference is that the walayat of Allah is walayatul zatiyya. Isn't it right? Allah is in his own self, he is the ruler. And the walayat of the Prophet is given from Allah to him. And walayat of Imam Ali is given from Allah to him. Whereas the walayat of Allah is not given from anyone to him. So his Allah's walayat is zatiyya, whereas the walayat of Rasul and Amir al-Mu'mineen has been given by Allah. That's the difference. Otherwise, the absoluteness of the walayat is there. We believe the walayat, you know, tashri'iyyatun mutlaqa for the messenger, and the walayat takwiniyyatun mutlaqa for the messenger. Likewise, we believe the walayat tashri'iyyatun mutlaqa for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and the walayat takwiniyyatun mutlaqa for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And if the walayat takwiniyya, that means the power to do miracles in the creatures of Allah, they can do whatever they want to do in everything that exists. Everything reports back to them. Every existence in the universe is under their command. And they are the commander-in-chief of the whole universe. So we say, Mawla al-Kainati was-Sabitat. Amir al-Mu'mineen himself is not only the ruler of humankind, but he is the ruler of all that exists other than Allah. So he rules over everything other than Allah. Masim Allah. So that kind of rule. So that's what we say to those of the, you know, Muslims who, you know, who are not ready to accept the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. We say to them as well that can you bring a person who has the walayatul mutlaqatul takwiniyya, the absolute power over every existence of the universe, every existence responds back to them, reports back to them, is under his command. If you can bring a person who has the walayatul mutlaqatul takwiniyya, you would love to accept that person to be our imam. Isn't it right? Because we go by the principles. But if you cannot provide a person, a leader who has the walayat al-mutlaqatul takwiniyya, the person that you are accepting or the people that you are accepting do not enjoy the walayat al-mutlaqatul takwiniyya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are not even considered to be comparable to the highness of Imam Ali al-Islam, and they are basically out of the question. They are not even there to be compared with Imam Ali al-Islam and his highness. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam in his khutbah that he delivered in Marf when he was forcibly taken by Mahmud Rashid rahmatullahi to his capital of the government Marf, which is in Turkmenistan right now. That's where in the Masjid al-Jami' in the Masjid al-Jami' of Marf, Imam Ridha alayhi salam delivered his statement where he has mentioned Fahal يَقْتِرُونَ عَلَى مِثْلِ هَذَا فَيَقْتَرُوهُ. Can the people, are the people able to bring a person like that so that they can choose him? أَوْ يَكُونَ مُخْتَارُهُمْ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ فَيُقَدِّرُونَهُ. Or their choice has this attribute so they can bring him forward. Neither the people can bring the person who has these attributes, nor the person they bring forward fulfills these attributes. So their choice doesn't have it, and they are unable to bring a person who fulfills these attributes either. Isn't that right? So how would they be able to claim the imamate for anyone else? So now, after doing this mention of the walayat of Imam Ali al-Islam, unfortunately we find there are people, some self-declared so-called intellectual people in the society. There are several who are self-proclaimed intellectuals cropping up who never studied in any Hausa system, from any mufassir of Quran, or any muhaddith, or any mujtahid, or any faqih, muhaqqiq of Islam, and they claim to be the scholars, and some of these people have started to claim that Prophet did not announce the walayat of Imam Ali al-Islam explicitly. Instead, he announced it implicitly. Isn't it right? So what else is called explicit? He has been announcing the walayat throughout his life, from the Da'wah of Al-Ashira till the end. So now, we find that after the announcement of the Walayat, Prophet didn't end it there. Khayma, the tent was installed, and the Bay'at and oath of allegiance was taken. 120,000 people returning back from the Hajj, they did the Bay'at with Imam Ali alayhi salam in the presence of Rasulullah, and he is the Shahid and witness. This is also, some people say, well, when there is a Khalifa who is accepted already and his Bay'at is sabit, then why would we accept it? Now, we would like to say to these kind of Muslims that whose Bay'at was sabit? Whose Bay'at was ahead? Bay'at of Qadir took place ahead of the Bay'at of Saqifa. Isn't that right? And not just that, but the Bay'at that the oath of allegiance and misaq that our souls have given towards the walayat concept in the alam al-arwah, in the world of souls, was way ahead before any human being was created into this world, which we call alam al-misaq. Isn't that right? So, now, Imam Ali al-Islam's Bay'at has been taken, which doesn't leave any room for a person to deny. But there are people who still deny it. So because of their denial, the Muslims got divided into 73 sects, not Islam. Islam can never be divided. And this is a lesson for all of us, brothers and sisters. The reason why Muslims got divided into 73 sects, because they turned their backs towards walayat. So even if the Shia community turns their back towards the walayat, the same is going to happen to them. Isn't it right? When those of the Muslim sects who denounced and rejected the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam got divided into 73 sects, 72 other sects of Islam, isn't it right? The same is going to happen. So why the 73 sects? Because not everybody is following the walayat. Isn't it right? There are some who don't follow the walayat, and there are some who follow the walayat in the Imam Ali. So there will be 73 sects when some don't follow. So what is the walayat? Walayat is actually the straight path and sirat al-mustaqeem, which we all are mentioning day in and day out in our prayers, minimum 10 times daily in about 5 times prayers, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. الصراط المستقيم, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salatu
wasalam.
So we are constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the hidayat al-taqweeniyah towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Hidayat al-tashri'iyah is already there. And then right, Allah has already sent the Prophet, and he already taught us. Everybody knows about what Prophet has taught. So hidayat al-tashri'iyah is already there, but we are not seeking that which is already there. We are seeking actually the hidayat al-taqweeniyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not obeying and following the walayat means you will be derailed from the straight path. So anyone who doesn't follow the walayat is not on the siratul mustaqeem. That's how the rest of the 73 sects, rest of the 72 sects happen. And what is the status of those who are not on the, who are ready to deny the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and reject it? Well, the status is already clear, because when this guy comes forward after the announcement of the Holy Prophet, and he said that, is this announcement from you or from Allah? You asked us to accept Tawheed and to believe in you about your risalat and your prayers and fasting, and you all accepted it. And now that you are leaving this world, you are appointing your own cousin to be the ruler of Islamic Ummah. Is it from your own self, or is it from Allah who is appointing Ali? And he prayed to Allah, this guy prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anzil alayna hijaratan min as-sama'. That means, if that is from you, not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then sent down a stone upon us, and the stone came. And the stone came, the punishment of Allah arrived then and there, and the stone entered from his head and came out from the bottom, and the person died then and there. So the status of those who deny and challenge was made clear in front of all the people. So we need to understand that when after making the announcement, Prophet didn't finish there. He says, "Allahumma walim walahu." Now it's time for prayers. After making announcement, Prophet is wise. Is it right? Now he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my Lord, love the one who loves him. Allahumma walim man walahu. And take the person as your enemy. Take the person who takes Imam Ali as his enemy to be your enemy. So anyone who takes Imam Ali to be his enemy, Allah is going to take him as Allah's enemy. وَعَادِمَ الْعَدَاهُ وَنْصُرْ مَنْ نَصَرَهُ, and help the person who helps him. That means anybody who helps the walayat of Imam Ali Islam is confirmed victorious. He's mansoor, he's the victor. He's confirmed victorious because the dua of the Holy Prophet is already mustajab and accepted. And then Prophet said, وَخْذُرْ مَنْ خَذَرَهُ, and deceive the person who deceived him. And then he says, وَأَدِرْ الْحَقَّ مَعْهُ, and rotate the haqq along with him. That means along with Imam Ali Islam, حَيْسُ دَار, wherever he goes. So wherever Imam Ali Islam goes, that defines the haqq. Prophet didn't say that we rotate Ali where the haqq goes. So tomorrow any Tabut ruler can say, well, I'm on haqq, so now Ali is supposed to follow me. Prophet did not say, rotate Ali where haqq goes. Prophet says, وَأَدِرِ الْحَقَّ, rotate the haqq where Ali goes. So we understand what is haqq by looking at Imam Ali and his policies of life. So there is no room for anybody to mess around with the concepts and values of Rasulullah. This is the wisdom of Rasulullah. So now we find Prophet had said to Ammar ibn Yasir, لَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَادِيًا وَسَلَكَ عَلِيٌّ وَادِيًا فَسْلُكْ وَادِيًا سَلَكَهُ عَلِيٌّ وَخَلِّ النَّاسَ طُرًّا. If people go towards one valley and Ali goes towards a valley, you go towards the valley where Ali goes and leave the humanity aside. So we don't care in Islam about how many people are following whom. Numbers don't count in Islam. Quran has already said, لَا تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Don't obey majority on the face of earth. They will mislead you from the path of Allah. It's Quran. لَا تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So the majority is clearly denounced by Allah in the Nas of Quran. So we don't care in Islamic value system about how many follow whom. We care about how many follow haq in Islam. So now, this has been made clear by Rasulullah. Now the celebration of Khadir is the celebration for those, like I said in the beginning of my speech, for those who care about adl and justice. This is their day they should celebrate. They are the ones who deserve to celebrate the Eid al-Walaya, which is the Akbarul A'yad in the Hadith of Rasulullah, because he said, Akbarul A'yad al-Ummati, Ghadir Yawm Ghadir al-Khum, Akbarul A'yad al-Ummati. The day of Ghadir al-Khum is the biggest of all the Eids of my nation. So this is the Eid, the biggest Eid in Islam, according to the Hadith of Rasulullah. So who is supposed to celebrate this Eid? Those who care about adl, those who have their conscience alive. These are the people who are supposed to celebrate, because Imam Ali Islam is all about adl and justice. And This Adl and Justice has, if you care about the Walayat, then it has a prerequisite. And the prerequisite of the belief of Walayat is Tabarri. In right, in Arabic we say Tabarri, in Farsi or Urdu we say Tabarra. So Tabarri is the prerequisite. My teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Mahmoudi, Allah, let me read the sentence of my teacher first. Hawan tarke tahliye muqaddam bar tahliya as tabarri qabla tawallis. Just like in Ilm al-Akhlaq, we learn the three stages of tazkiyatul nafs, tahliya and tahliya and tajliya. Isn't it right? The first step is tahliya, means getting rid, to get rid of all the evil attributes of the soul. First you make your soul cleaned up from all the evil attributes that drag us towards the harams in our lives. And then after removing the haram, the roots of the haram attributes, which is the tahliya stage, then we adorn ourselves with the adornments of the beautiful attributes of Islamic morality. That's the step number two. So my teacher says, just like the tahliya stage is ahead of tahliya, similarly, the stage of tabarri is ahead of the stage of tawalli. Before you announce, well, I believe in the walayat of Imam Ali Rasulullah and I accept. Before you announce that, you have to fulfill the prerequisite, which is tabarri. That means you have to disassociate yourself from the enemies of Imam Ali Rasulullah. And you have to denounce and condemn the enemies of Ahlul Bayt and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So here comes the responsibility. The responsibility number one, if we believe in the walayat of Imam Ali Islam, and the sign and alamat for every haqiqat, لِكُلِّ حَقِيقَةٍ حَقًّا وَعَلَامَةً. Every haqiqat has a sign with which we discover that that reality exists. If you want to discover that a person believes in the walayat and he is muwali over the walayat of Amir Mu'minin Islam, the sign is this. Did he disassociate from the enemies of Imam Ali al-Islam? Now look at this hadith. This person comes to Amir al-Mu'minin al-Islam and says, in the riwayat says, إِنَّ رَجُلًا قَدِمَ عَلَى أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فَقَالَ يَا أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ وَأُحِبُّ فُلَانًا وَسَمَّى بَعْضَ أَعْدَائِهِ. A person came to Imam Ali al-Islam and says, I love you. And I also love him. He mentioned the name of one of the enemies of Imam Ali al-Islam. Inni uhibbuka wa uhibbu fulanan. Now look at the response of Imam Ali al-Islam towards this kind of Muslim. Well, there are so many out there in the society, isn't it right? Who are not only having soft corners towards the Tawuts, not only they are sympathizing with the Yazids of today, not only they are justifying the wrongs of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, but they are actually supporting and assisting. Isn't it right? Some people even go forward to support and assist. Now look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam did reply to this person. He says, أَمَّا الْآن فَأَنْتَ أَعْوَارِ. As for now, you are a blind person from one eye. So we understand, obviously, that belief in Imamat gives us the vision and the basirat of to our soul. Just like your eyesight is there, you know, your physical vision. Similarly, in Islam, we believe the souls have vision too. And if you believe in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, that's where your souls have the vision intact. And if you don't believe in the walayat, then you are blind at heart. And these people deserve to be resurrected in the Day of Judgment as A'ma. مَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. Whoever is blind in this world will be blind in that world. So it's lots of people are blind at heart. So Imam Ali al-Islam said to him, أَمَّا الْآنَ فَأَنْتَ أَعْوَى. As for now, you are blind from one eye. فَإِمَّا أَنْ تَعْمَى وَإِمَّا أَنْ تُبْصِرْ. So basically what's going to happen is that before you die, in the future of your life, either you will become blind from both the eyes, that means you switch sides and leave this path and go to that side, or you become, you end up having the basirat from both the eyes, that means you join this side. So you have to switch the sides. Either you will totally go towards that side, or you will totally come towards this side. You cannot remain in the middle. Anybody who is walking the path in the middle, then he is bound to be either going towards that or this side before his death. So this has to be very clear in our minds. And then another person, this is from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Qila al-Sadiq alayhi salam, it is said to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Inna fulanan yuwalikum. There's such and such person who loves you. And he loves you, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Illa annahu yad'ufu an al-bara'ati min aduwikum. But he's weak in doing bara'at towards your enemy. So Imam Sadiq says, Hayhata kathiba man idda'a mahabbatana wa lam yatabarra' min aduwina. So basically we learned that a person who claims our mahabbat but did not disassociate and didn't do bara'at from our enemy is lying. So this is the policy of Banu Umayya, to separate the religion from politics and keep the people away from the walayat and make them busy in following the Islam minus walayat. That's the policy of Banu Umayya, isn't it right? So in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, Inna Bani Umayyata atlaqu an-nasa ta'lim al-iman wa lam yutlaqu ta'lim al-shirk. Bani Umayya certainly allowed the people to learn about the faith, but did not allow the people to learn about the shirk. Why is that so? Imam says, لِكَيْ إِذَا حَمَلُوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوهُ. So that when they will ask them to do the shirk, they would not recognize it. They would be easily ready to do the shirk. What is the shirk that the people did? Examples. Baghawat and rebellion against the Imam al-Ma'soom. Didn't Banu Umayya rebel against Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam? Staging a rebellion against the Ma'soom Imam in the eyes of Islam is shirk. But they did their campaign among the Muslim community and fooled them and deceived them to stage this kind of rebellion against Imam alayhi salam is a shirk. Rebellion against the walayat of the Khalifa of Allah means rebellion against God. Isn't it right? So this is what we understand in the light of the hadith of Imam Sadiq al-Islam. Inna bani Umayya atlaqu an-nas ta'lim al-iman wa lam yutlaqu ta'lim al-shirk. It's the job of the Umayya who did that. So they basically, in other words, in today's terminology, they asked the people to follow the Islam minus walayat. Keep on praying and fasting and do hajj and hijab and qums and all that. When it comes to the walayat of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, no. Follow our walayat. Isn't it right? Islam of the people of Kufa. We send la'nat upon them. The Kufi Islam is mal'oon in the ziyarat of Ashura and the ziyarat of Waris. We send our la'nat to the Islam of Kufa. The Islam of Kufa is the Islam minus walayat. Because they are praying. You cannot find in the history people of Kufa stop prayers. They become Tarku Salat. We don't have any trace in the history that people of Kufa were Tarku Salat. We have no trace in the history that people of Kufa were Tarku Zakat, Tarku Khums, Tarku Fitra, or they stopped wearing hijab, they stopped going for Hajj. No, they were doing all these ibadat. Then why in the world are we sending la'nat upon them? They are still praying and fasting and doing the hijab and fitra and khums and zakat and all that. Because they are following Islam minus walayat.
Wali of the time and Mawla of the time, Imam Hussein, slaughtered next door, and they keep on praying and fasting. Hijab, zakat. Right? And this kind of Islam minus politics is mal'oon in the ziyarat of Ashura. And brothers and sisters, what the enemies of Islam and Ahlul Bayt are afraid of is also the al-Islamul Wala'i, the Islam of the Wala'iyat of Ahlul Bayt. The political Islam in today's terminology. If you are following an Islam which has nothing to do with how many people are killed and slaughtered and tortured and injured and maimed and killed, isn't it right? You don't care about that. You're just sitting in a corner, busy in your own life, praying and fasting. Then that kind of Islam is all available inside the state of Israel as well. Even Israel did not stop the practice of Islam minus Wala'iyat. There's Salatul Jumu'ah taking place, there's Salatul Jama'ah taking place, there's Zakat, there's, you know, all those worships of Islam are there. Islam minus Wala'iyat will never, ever, ever, ever be opposed by the Taghuts. Why would they oppose? This is in sync with their policy as long as you're opposing their Wala'iyat. So what they are opposing is not Islam, you know, minus Wala'iyat. They are opposing the Islam with the Wala'iyat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Now let's go to the hadith of you know, the Holy Prophet, where he says that Nahnu Banu Abdul Muttalib, isn't it right? Ma Adana Baytun illa waqad khariba, wala awana kalbun illa waqad jariba, waman lam yusaddiq falyujarrib. We, the children of Abdul Muttalib, look at the tone of Rasulullah. Look at the tense that he's using. Prophet has keeping tabs on every information till the Day of Judgment, even beyond that. Isn't it right? He knows everything before anything was created. He has the right to say that kind of statement. So Rasulullah says, Nahnu Banu Abdul Muttalib, we, the children of Abdul Muttalib, Ma Adana Baytun illa waqad kharib. There is no house, there is no household which did enmity towards us, except the house was devastated, destroyed. Wala awana kalbun, and there is no dog which barked upon us, except that it ended up in the illness. Waman lam yusaddiq falyujarrib. Whoever doesn't certify, that means whoever doesn't accept what I'm saying, fine, you try, you do it. Try doing it and you would see what happens to you. Falyujarrib, you do it. So this, he can do it. So basically, the wala'at, the prerequisite, what I was discussing, brothers and sisters, the prerequisite of the acceptance and claim of the iman over the wala'at of Ahlul Bayt is the tabarri towards the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Abu Hamza As-Somali, one of the greatest companions of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, is a very great person. Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam had said to Abu Hamza al-Somali, he's the one who narrated the famous dua of Abi Hamza, Imam al-Sajjad had said to him, Inni la astarihu idha ra'aytuka. I feel comfort when I see you. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used to feel happy and comfortable when he had a look over at Abu Hamza. So people like him are so high in knowledge and taqwa and the taharat of qalb that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used to feel comfort by looking at Abu Hamza. Inni la astarihu idha ra'aytuka. So Abu Hamza al-Samari rahmatullah alayh has narrated from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that I said to the Imam, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ أَنَا إِسْتَكْمَلْتُ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ. حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. What is the thing that I, if I do it, I have completed the reality of Iman. And Imam al-Baqir al-Salam replied to me that Tuwali Awliya Allah, from Sabbath, it's not say, you know, you pray 100 hours of prayers every day. This is kind of insulting of some people out there, isn't it right? Who think that this is the criteria for judging the people to be muttaqi. And this is actually condemned. If you look at that, the Prophet has stopped us from looking towards the prayers of the people. La tanzuru, the hadith of Rasulullah says, La tanzuru ila tuli ruku' al-rajul wa sujudihi. Don't look towards the length of the ruku' of a person. وَسُجُودِهِ and his sajda, وَكَسَرْتَ صَلَاتِهِ وَسِيَامِهِ وَتِلَاوَتِهِ. Some of the narrations say, don't look towards abundance of his prayers and fasting and the tilawat. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ قَدْ اِعْتَادَهُ. Because that's the thing, a person may be habituated of doing that. He's doing out of adat and habit. Lots of people are doing the salat out of habit, isn't it right? If I'm doing now, 14 harams in my life, I keep on praying every day, and those 14 harams continue to be done every single day. I don't even bother to stop doing the harams, doing the business as usual. Quran has already said in the Salat al-Tanha, al-fahsha'i wal-munkar. Certainly the prayers stop from indecent and the haram, the munkar. The person doesn't realize he keeps on doing the harams in his life, isn't it right? May Allah give us the tawfiq to abstain from the fahsha and munkar in our life. So what I'm saying is that prayers are not considered to be the criteria in the hadith of Rasulullah. Actually, we have been stopped bluntly by the Prophet to look towards the lengthy ruku or sajdas of a person or abundance of his prayers. Look at these Taliban, stupid Taliban people, and just like Khawarij, isn't it right? Khawarij used to pray Salatul Layl, but came to fight against Imam Ali al-Islam and considered Imam Ali to be a kafir, na'udhu billah. They were praying Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab. So who considers Namaz al-Shab to be a criteria to begin with? Not the Prophet. So here Imam al-Baqir al-Islam did not say to Abu Hamza al-Somali that basically when he's asking, what should I do to make that my iman, haqiqat al-iman, the reality of my faith becomes complete and perfect, Imam Baqir did not say, pray 100 rakats of prayers or pray 5 months of fasting. But it's very good to pray in Islam. It's very good to fast. But that's not the criteria of judging the people, and that's not how you make your iman complete and perfect. The way how we make our iman complete and perfect is this. Tuwali awliya Allah. These are the lessons that we learn as we are celebrating the walayat of Imam Ali al-Islam today. Tuwali awliya Allah. That means you love the beloved servants of Allah. All those people who are serving the walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we love them? There are so many people in the Islamic Ummah who are cowards. They are themselves not ready to perform their fariza and duty towards Allah. They are right. They are cowards. But if you are a coward, at least praise those people who are not cowards and they are performing their duty. You cannot do your fariza, and they are doing their fariza. At least don't pull their legs. At least support them. Instead of putting roadblocks in the way of the awliya Allah and pulling their legs and objecting on them and their policies, right? At least have appreciation towards what they are doing when you are not able to do what they are doing. You are also supposed to do the same. That's the way how we perfect our iman. Tuwali awliya Allah. That means we love the awliya Allah, the beloved servants of Allah. Wa tu'adi a'da Allah. And you consider the enemies of Allah to be the enemy. Wa takunu ma'a as-sadiqin kama amarak Allah. And then you be with the sadiqin, how Allah has commanded. Sadiqin stand for the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salatu wassalam. On the day of Qadir, the people of Kufr and Shirk and Nifaq got disappointed because Allah's Khalifa came into power officially. So the Kufr is supposed to be disappointed, and Nifaq and hypocrisy
is supposed to be disappointed, isn't it right? So, this is the essence of Walayat. When Walayat comes, I remember Imam Khomeini, radhiyallahu anhu, he said that, you know, that Pushtiwane Walayat e Faqih Bashi, Ta Asibi Devi Mamlikat Narasat. So, now it is our responsibility that we do not separate the walayat from Islam. That means the political duties towards the walayat and governance concept of Ahlul Bayt from Islam. That means we follow the political Islam. Siyasat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Islam, Siyasatul Alawiyya is what we are talking about, which is the siyasat of Adl of Imam Ali al-Islam, which is the same siyasat Imam Sahib al-Zaman is going to enforce and the government of justice on the whole world tomorrow. Is that right? This is what we talked about, the walayat, Islam of walayat. So now then the verse, I'm coming to the end of my speech. Now the verse was revealed on the Holy Prophet, Al-Yawm. أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I completed for you أكملت لكم دينكم your religion and perfected and completed for you my نعمت ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا and I agreed, I am pleased for you about Islam to be a religion. So my teacher again, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, was saying in his tafsir that al-Islam al-wala'i huwa al-wardi in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning, this is the mustafad, this is the benefit that we understand in the light of this ayat of Quran, that the Islam al-wala'i, the political Islam which serves the walayat of Ahlul Bayt is the Islam which Allah is pleased with. The ayat of Quran is saying, after the walayat announcement is done, then Allah says, today I completed your religion and I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you. So the Islam after the announcement of the walayat is the Islam with which Allah is pleased. So Islam plus walayat. Isn't it right? So Islam plus walayat is what Allah is pleased with. That's the kind of Islam which is considered by Allah to be perfect and complete. So anybody who is following the Islam minus walayat must understand what the ayat of Quran has already said. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ to the Prophet Allah said, and if you don't do then you have not performed, you did not convey his message. That means that the Prophet did not stand, did not support, did not announce the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He did not fulfill the obligation towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that even his risalat and message goes down the drain. You have not performed the risalat. Who are we? And what's the status of my prayers and fasting when the whole risala of Rasulullah is in danger if the walayat of Imam Ali is not announced? Isn't that right? So we already learned what is the status of those who are following Islam minus walayat, and we already understand in the light of the verse Al-Yawma Akmaltu, today I completed the religion. So we understand that Islam plus walayat of Imam Ali is the Islam with which Allah is pleased. So there is no room for a community to follow Islam minus walayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to understand and follow the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. I would like to request all of you to please read these three du'as with me. Alhamdulillah Alladhi جعلنا من المتمسكين بولايته أمير المؤمنين والأئمة عليهم السلام الحمد لله الذي جعل كمال دينه وتمام نعمته بولايته أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا بهذا اليوم وجعلنا من الموفين بعهده إلينا وميثاقه الذي واثقنا به من ولايته ولاته أمره والقوام بقسطه ولم يجعلنا من الجاحدين والمكذبين بيوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من قتل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Fatiha for the Marhumin of the sponsors and of today's program, and also the Marhumin of the organizers of today's program. Thank you. Hey.
Say, 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 no, 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 say, say, say.